I feel more connected to what we're doing than ever, but that's because I've found what I'm interested in about it now, and it's evolved for me, and I have to keep evolving and staying connected. Otherwise, you burn out, and if you burn out, you're never going to have the staying power.
I'm Amy Porterfield, ex-corporate girl turned CEO of a multi-7-figure business. But it wasn't all that long ago that I lacked the confidence, the budget, and the time to focus on growing my small but mighty business. Fast forward past many failed attempts and lessons learned, and you'll see the business I have today. One that changes lives and gives me more freedom than I ever thought possible. One that used to only exist as a daydream. I created the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies to help you do the same. If you're an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making who's looking to create a business that makes an impact and a life you love, you're in the right place, friend. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Online Marketing Made Easy. Thank you so much for joining me time and time again. And if you're new here, so very glad that you found me and my community. I'm thrilled to have you here because you're about to hear from someone who is absolutely the real deal. His name is Matthew Hussey, and we've been friends for a little while now, and I'm just such a fan of everything that he does. And it's my guess that you might have actually already heard of him, especially if you are single. So he is the leading love life expert and confidence coach. He's a New York Times bestselling author and a speaker. His YouTube channel is the number one in the world for love life advice with over 500 million views. He writes a weekly newsletter and is the host of the top rated podcast, Love Life with Matthew Hussey. Ladies, he's the guy who's helped millions of women find love, but also feel confident and in control of their happiness, which I think is most important. So I'm all about that. Now, you might be thinking, wait a second, Amy, if you're not single, you might be thinking, why am I listening to this episode? Well, stay with me here because I always have a tie back to growing your online business. So in this episode, we're going to learn how Matthew went from being a shy and unsure guy in his teenage years to being at the helm of a multi-million dollar business that's centered around helping people build their confidence and find love. You're also going to hear about the psychology of entrepreneurship and how the same qualities that make you successful in love can make you successful in business. And I have to say, one of the things that I admire about Matthew the most is he's very vulnerable. He's very real about his struggles and about what he's gone through in order to get to where he is today. And if you've ever had imposter syndrome, please pay attention because Matthew is a perfect example of somebody who has overcome that. And we'll talk about how he did that as well. And later on in the episode, we'll talk about his brand new book, which is called Love Life: How to Raise Your Standards, Find Your Person, and Live Happily No Matter What. But we're going to get to that at the end. First, we're going to talk about all things confidence and building your brand and being more vulnerable online and what that can do for building your business. All right, I won't make you wait any longer. Let's bring on my guest, Matthew Hussey. Hey there, Matthew. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
I just want you all to know that you are welcome right from the start for this man's voice. You get to hear this beautiful accent the entire time. It's one of my most favorite. I tell him all the time. But this is my friend Matthew Hussey, and I just am really excited for my audience to get to know you. Many of them likely already do, but let's just like start from the beginning. And the big question is, how the heck did you become interested in helping people find love? Like, where and how and how did this all get started?
Well, I was probably first early in my life just interested in helping myself find love. And I was not, when I was a kid, I was a shy and both shy and introverted. So I had my own challenges with that, especially, you know, growing up in a world where you were told as a man, it was your job to make the move. And I found myself finding it really hard to make the move because I was just so afraid of the rejection of it all. I was afraid of embarrassment, saying something foolish. So, you know, my first real thing was in my teens, trying to find more courage and a little more confidence to actually take risks myself. It wasn't until my probably 19, 20, which is insane that I started out as a coach that young. I had no business helping people with anything probably at that age. But it occurred to me that I actually shared something in common with a lot of women, because at the time I was already helping guys learn what I'd learned, but women were coming to me and saying, why aren't you doing the same thing for us? And I was, at the time I was like 20 years old and I was building a little bit of a name for myself, enough in London, this was enough to where women were asking me why I wasn't helping them. And the more I learned about women, the more I realized, wow, women seem to be, a lot of them, ending up in relationships or situationships with guys that don't treat them well, that don't respect them, that don't invest in them, that keep going hot and cold with them, that keep them hanging, but don't actually ever give them, you know, real relationships and the kind of love that they want and deserve. And I realized, in my head, I came to a conclusion. Part of this conclusion was wrong, but at the time I came to this conclusion. If women had more choice, they would make better decisions because they wouldn't be settling for the person in front of them. They would all of a sudden have an abundance of good options, and then they would be able to choose from those good options. What I came to realize was that with those women, for me, I was like, if I can get them taking risks and making moves, then they're going to have more of that choice. So I started coming up with ways that they could have more options. I came up with this idea of, I started talking about this idea of the handkerchief, this idea that, you know, a woman who says, I'm old fashioned, I never make the move, actually wasn't copying what old fashioned was, because women who are really old fashioned would walk past a guy, drop their handkerchief, pick it up and bring it over to her, and he'd think he'd had the idea of approaching her, but of course she'd chosen him by dropping the handkerchief. And I started saying to women, look, I can help you by showing you how to drop the handkerchief with guys today in a way that's going to get them making the move, but they're going to feel like it's their idea. And so my whole thesis here was, if I can get women to drop the handkerchief in front of more men, they're going to have more options. And if they have more options, they're going to make much better choices about who to be with. I was right about one thing. That was that this dropping the handkerchief would give them more options. What I was wrong about is that if people had more options, they'd make much better choices, because it seemed like people still were making certain bad choices, even with more ability to create options and be proactive. But my early foray into this was just realizing, wow, women are waiting to be chosen when they could be doing the choosing. And I was like, I kind of relate to that, because I feel like I'm being chosen because I'm not approaching people. I'm afraid of getting rejected. So I feel like I'm being chosen and I'm not doing the choosing. My challenge was, how do I get women to start being proactive in the ways that I am, understanding that for many women, there is a dynamic that is different for me as a guy. And that was my early foray into helping women. Now, that was helping tens of women at a time. Now we have a YouTube channel with 500 million views. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Yeah. And I've learned a lot more since then. Like I said, I learned that people's love lives are much more complicated than just creating more options. It's certainly a part of it, but there are also much deeper reasons why we're struggling. And that was one of the reasons why this book was something that was really important to me to write, because I have a much more nuanced understanding of how people can help themselves in their love lives today than I did when I was 21 and just showing people how to get out there more.
Well, what did you, okay, take me back a little bit, because I thought I read somewhere where, like, when you were 11 years old, you stumbled upon a book that kind of opened your eyes, because you were talking about you taught yourself this and then you started to teach other guys. Where did it all start?
I was literally, like you say, 11 years old, and I picked up a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
That's right.
And that book was, it changed my life, because it introduced me to this idea that you can learn how to have more impact in the world. And that was, for me, as like I said, as a shy and introverted kid, that was a revelation. Like I couldn't, I just thought I was stuck with the way that I was in those ways. And it was just amazing to me that there were, I thought, Amy, when I picked up this book, I thought I had discovered a secret scroll no one else knew about. I didn't realize at 11 years old that this was a huge book that like had been a seminal self-development book for decades and decades. I just thought I've found something that other people don't have access to. And it's going to teach me how to be in the world in a way that has have more impact. And then that sent me down this path of, you know, self-development and psychology and understanding people and human nature better. And it became a personal passion of mine. I really loved it. I always say to people, if you are someone who buys courses or you go to events, like you're me, because I was that person. You know, I went to my first Tony Robbins event when I was 14 years old.
Oh my goodness, that is young.
It's crazy. Well, I was lucky. My friend, his dad used to take his company every year to see Tony in London. He used to do this big event center called the XL Center in London. And, you know, those were the big, like 10,000 person events. And my friend's dad dragged his son and he said to his son, you can have a ticket to bring a friend, so that you're not on your own. And I was that friend that got given the ticket. So I went to this event at a crazy young age to be at an event like that. And it really, I was stunned by how much impact this person had on stage. You know, I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen someone with those kinds of communication skills or that ability to deliver a message. And so for me, it was the marriage of all of this like personal self-development work that I was doing that I really loved, and someone who was able to deliver that in a way that none of my teachers at school seemed able to deliver a message. You know, I couldn't believe someone could have that much control of their voice, of a crowd. A passion for public speaking was born when I saw that.
Very early on, you were young to pick up the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People at 11, to be at a Tony Robbins event at 14. It reminds me, those that are listening, I've got a lot of young parents listening, where you can really influence and shape your children in the most beautiful way when you're intentional about it. So I love that you had that guidance.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a balance, right? Because what I got at that age was really powerful for me, in that it inspired me and it gave me tools. It also, I think in my 20s, as someone who was coaching people, you know, one of the dangers of how I went out into the world and wanted to coach people and wanted to help people was that my insecurity made me feel as if I was supposed to know it all. And then rather than staying in student mode the whole time and just being like, I'm just learning and how fun to pass on what I'm learning, I went into like teacher mode, where I'm now the person who's supposed to have all the answers. And it became a barrier to me doing some of the growth work that I really needed to do, that I didn't know how to do at a certain point, because I had this very public facing persona of being the person with the answers. And I was getting, you know, at this point, this wasn't at the beginning of my journey anymore. It was like getting millions of views on my videos. And I'd already had a New York Times bestseller in my first book at 24, 25 years old. And, you know, it became a prison, because I had a lot of work I needed to do. And I didn't know how to do it without shattering this image of that I thought was important, that was never important to anyone else. You know, my insecurity told me it was important, that I needed to have all the answers and have it all figured out. And honestly, so much of this book, I think what will surprise people is people really enjoyed my first book, because it just felt highly practical and it felt like there was just a lot of strategy in there that helped people. But I think even people who have done some early readings of this have been shocked by the, like, oh, this is a completely different level of vulnerability from you. And there's something meta in that, because I think that a lot of people are struggling right now because they have their facing persona with their community, with their, you know, on social media, with their friends, their family, and they're struggling actually a lot inside in ways that they feel it's hard to admit or it's shameful to admit, especially when people are single and they want to find love and they feel like it's not working out for them. It can be really hard to talk about how hard that is and how much you're struggling, especially when in other ways your life projects feeling being together and feeling successful. Or, you know, you'd coach so many people that I know will feel accomplished in what they're doing at work, or a real sense of fulfillment or satisfaction with what they're doing with their businesses. And in their personal lives, they're feeling really lost and they're feeling really scared. And it can create a real disconnect between what they're feeling inside and what they're projecting on the outside. And in many ways, I had that for years. Even in my love life, I had that. I was supposed to be the person with it all figured out. And in my love life, I was single and dissatisfied and trying to figure it out at the same time as I was helping, you know, getting stopped in the street by people every day saying, "You helped me get married. You helped me. I found my person because of you." And in my own love life, for my own reasons, which I'm happy to talk about, I was still struggling.
Talk about that. So this is such a great topic. There are people listening right now building businesses online and they kind of feel like a fraud. Or, you know, I'm helping these people, but behind the scenes, I'm kind of a mess. And that's where that imposter syndrome rears its ugly head. So what did you do? What did you do about that? I'm sure you talk about it in the book. So give me a little bit of that so someone listening could maybe get started in the right direction as well.
Well, I'm a big believer in the power of real confidence comes from true acceptance of where you really are right now. If I tell you, Amy, that I have $100,000 in the bank, but really I'm $100,000 in debt, that immediately creates a disconnect.
Yes.
Between my reality and not only what you think of me or where you think I am, but where I know you think I am. So it creates this inability for me to accept my own reality. And I also now think that you are accepting me based on where you think I am, not where I really am. Now, you may accept me for where I really am, but if I haven't given you that opportunity, I've just told you that I'm somewhere I'm not. Now, let's say I work really hard, I do some amazing things this year, and I end up paying off 20% of my debt. I'm now down to 80 grand in debt. That's amazing. I've paid off a fifth of my debt. It's an incredible thing. I should be incredibly proud of that. But I can't be proud of that because in my head, I'm still 180 grand behind where you think I am. And that makes me feel like a fraud, and it makes me feel shame, and it makes me feel like I'm unlovable because if you knew the truth, you wouldn't love me. And the real tragedy of it, Amy, is that when you pay off that 20 grand, when you make an inch of progress that's real in any part of life, that should give you real confidence. But it can't when there's still a disconnect between where you are and what you're projecting. So what I began to kind of really discover about my life is the more I can bring where I am, truly am, into alignment with how I communicate or what I'm projecting or what I divulge, the more I feel happy because I'm being who I really am and where I really am. But I also get to, when I do something well or when I make a bit of progress, I get to really feel confident as a result of that. So more and more in my videos, I started saying to myself, you know what? I'm just going to be real about this thing that I'm struggling with, or I'm just going to be honest about the fact that this is something I'm working on right now, or I'm going to come from a place of sharing something that I'm working on or that's working for me instead of teaching. And it really changed things for me. And I had to make a decision that my real progress was more important than anything else. So in my personal life, there were areas where I was like, I had a couple of things that brought me to my knees that really forced me into humility. One of them was a tremendous heartbreak in my life. Another one was dealing with physical chronic pain that got so bad over several years that I went to therapy and I said to this therapist, I'm so unhappy that I've decided I'm going to live for everyone else now. Like, I'm going to just live for my family. I'm going to live for my team. I'm going to live for the people that I coach, because I'm so, this physical pain that I have is so constant and so unrelenting that I'll never be happy for as long as I have it. And wow. I've tried everything to get rid of it and nothing has worked. So, and I ended up in a place of total hopelessness, first despair. And then, you know, you can't live in despair for too long because it's just too painful. So despair usually gives way to hopelessness or nihilism. And for me, it led to hopelessness and a kind of nihilism for myself. But the thing that saved me was I had some responsibilities and, you know, I had people relying on me. And so that stopped me from just throwing in the towel altogether. But I said to him, I'm just going to live for everyone else because I'm never going to be happy again for as long as I have this pain. And that was like one of the darkest statements of my life. And when I got to that point, I was like, nothing matters anymore unless I fix this. Like, it's all irrelevant. Like, it doesn't, reputation, status, success, image, nothing. What matters if I feel this unhappy all the time? And so it became like my number one goal was, how do I figure this out? And I, unfortunately, I couldn't figure it out by finding a treatment, because I tried everything I could possibly think of. I'd like exhausted everything. But I realized, oh, I have to figure this out by changing my relationship with it. And it became one of the most instructive lessons of my life. And it has changed my life dramatically. It's been the greatest lesson I've ever learned. I put it in the book because what I realized was that's analogous to what people experience in their personal lives when they're lonely, is that they feel like there's this chronic pain that they can't shift. And that if they've tried everything to find love and find their person and it hasn't worked, then there's just this kind of ache, this absence at the heart of their life that they can't seem to make go away. And I learned that so many of the tools that I learned for dealing with chronic pain apply to the pain of someone who wants to find love, but it's eluded them so far.
Yes, makes sense. I love that you outline this in your book and you talk about this. And also what you said and what I'm hearing you're saying is, I felt like I didn't have what I wanted in my personal life, even though I could help all these people get what they wanted. So I started to be more transparent and vulnerable with my community about where I was. And are you saying that that kind of started the healing? I know you're focused on marketing and selling your digital products, but I know many of you also have physical products, and I want to talk about Shopify. Shopify is a user-friendly commerce platform that helps you, my dear online entrepreneur, build an online store and make more sales at any stage of your business. They're the force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other businesses at every size. Let me tell you why Shopify is an online entrepreneur's dream platform. It's because it helps turn your browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout experience. In fact, it converts 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms. Yeah, loving that. And I don't know about you, but as an online entrepreneur, my customer's experience, especially when it comes to checking out, is so important. Plus, not only do they support your customers, they support you as the entrepreneur. Shopify's award-winning help desk is there to support your success through every question and every step of the way. There's a reason Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/madeeasy. All lowercase. So go to shopify.com/madeeasy now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/madeeasy. We are online marketers, which means we have unique needs. And there are so many options out there for paid media. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where should you go to reach your ideal audience. But here's the thing. Have you thought about LinkedIn ads? LinkedIn ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers, and it allows you to build the right relationships and drive results and reach your customers with meaningful content. You do not want to sleep on LinkedIn ads. And here's the thing, 79% of content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. I hear it from so many of my peers, and I know you're doing important work. And with that, you want to make sure that the work you're doing is getting in front of the right people. And that's what LinkedIn ads will allow you to do. So let your marketing efforts connect with the right audience and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. So if you go to linkedin.com/Amy, you can get that $100 credit. So that's linkedin.com/Amy. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that everything was happening in tandem in my life. I was still afraid to be really vulnerable. I think for a long time, I was afraid to be really vulnerable, not just in my professional life, but in my personal life. I thought I was vulnerable in my personal life. If you'd have asked me, 25, are you vulnerable when you're, you know, dating or when you're in a relationship? I would have said yes, but I wasn't really. Like I thought I was. It wasn't until later that I realized, oh, there's so much of me that I hold back because I think it's not lovable. I think if someone knows that about me, they're not going to want me anymore. And I'd even had an experience that unfortunately for me, like felt like it confirmed that, like where I was in a relationship and I mentioned an insecurity about something that had happened that night. And this person looked at me and said, that's really unattractive. And it like really crushed me because it was the exact response I most feared, that if you know that this weaker part of me, not the manly part, not the part that is like projecting a kind of sexy, charismatic, whatever image, but if you knew how frail I could feel sometimes, or if you knew how insecure I could be sometimes, or that you wouldn't want me. And when this person said that to me, it really crushed me. And I just remember thinking at the time, I was like, I'm never doing that again. Like that is, people say they want vulnerability. They don't really want vulnerability. They want the kind of vulnerability of you crying in a movie because it's a sad movie. They don't want actual vulnerability of you showing everything of who you are. And of course, that was the wrong lesson to take from that. The truth is it wasn't the right person to be able to have, you know, to hold space for that vulnerability from me. But at the time, I nearly learned the wrong lesson. I did for a minute learn the wrong lesson from it. And it took me finding positive reference points for being vulnerable to see that the kind of connection you can find when you're more vulnerable is worth so much more. And you won't find it everywhere. Not everyone can give you that. And it's why, to some extent, we do have to be careful about who we trust with our heart, with our secrets, with the darker sides of ourselves, with the hurt, with the tender spots that we have. But when we find the right people to share with, it's a truly healing and life-changing experience. And I was experiencing that both on a personal level, where I was now sharing more in my relationship with Audrey, who's now my wife. It, you know, in the early stages, I would share things with her that I thought would scare her off, and they didn't. And they were met with acceptance and love. And that was a very healing thing for me to see that, like, oh, this is okay. This doesn't make me a horrible person. This doesn't make me shameful. This doesn't make me unlovable. This doesn't make me unattractive. And then at the same time, I was doing more of that with my audience too, out there online. And I would find that when I did it, more often than not, it would be met with such humanity, because people would, far from be people going, well, now that you've said that, I've decided you don't know what you're talking about. Actually, it was the opposite. People were like, God, I'm so happy to see this side of you, and it feels relatable, and I feel more connected to you, and it just adds credibility to what you do because you're on that path yourself. So it's been a really exciting time for me, and I'm still learning to be better at this, but I think it's a life-changing thing. But I also understand why so many people shut down, because when you experience enough hurt and enough pain, it does make you want to shut down and be in a cave and say screw you to people and the world and say that I never want to open myself up to that again. I really understand that position.
Right. Absolutely. When you get burned a few times, you're very gun shy to put yourself back out there, whether it be in business or in love or anything in between. So I get that. I love that you talk about the evolution of your business in terms of coming into your own, being more vulnerable, finding your community, getting accepted by them when you are vulnerable. I think that is so powerful, and a lot of people listening want that in their business. No matter if they're doing something dramatically different than you're doing, they still want to be themselves and be accepted by their community. And I was thinking about your business, like your passion for psychology and relationships, it's grown into a thriving business. You have a huge, successful business helping people find love. And so I'm curious if we could talk a little bit about the business side. As you've evolved over the years, what are some of the lessons that you've learned along the way? Some of the most important things you've learned along the way?
I think we have to find a way to maintain our passion for what we're doing over time, because it takes a long time to build something. And don't get me wrong, you know, we live in an age where there are sort of flash in the pan successes in terms of attention. You know, you can have a few viral videos and that can feel initially like great success. And it's not easy to produce viral content, but it's also not a business. You know, a business has strong foundations and it can live and exist and even thrive in times where there's no virality to what you're doing if the fundamentals are strong. But in order for the fundamentals to be strong and to build something lasting, you have to stay with it. And you have to, you know, sometimes I think you have to be prepared to be the last one in the room. You know, that I've seen so many people come and go in what I do. And I remember people telling me early on, I remember someone once joining my company and he said, he made a comment like, we've got to make the most of this because businesses like this only last 5 to 7 years, really. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, that can't be right. Like, I'm not a fad. I'm a person who's passionate about what they do and wants to do it for a long time. So I don't want to be a fad that people go, oh yeah, like Matthew Hussey, he was 2000 to 2005, or he was 2010 to 2015. Like that didn't, for me, that wasn't what I wanted. And so to build longevity, you have to be willing to outlast other people. But the only way you're going to do that is if you stay connected to what you do. And that's hard because you get sick of it. And people ask you the same questions 1,000 times, 10,000 times. And you have to find a way to connect with what you're doing and to stay passionate about it. And I don't think there's one answer to how you do that. Sometimes you do create new product lines or ideas that you're passionate about so that you can kind of diversify in a way that makes sense. Sometimes that does mean diversifying in ways that keep it fresh for you, but in ways that are still smart strategy-wise. Other times it might mean doing something new in your business, or it might mean just reconnecting, finding a way to reconnect to why you're doing it. But I found that to be, in some ways, the most existential threat to my business is staying connected to the thing that people are coming to you for. And that's something that over time I've had to really look for, like, what makes me want to do this today? Like, I know that the reasons behind writing this book now are different from the reasons I wrote my last book over 10 years ago. And I feel more connected to what we're doing than ever. But that's because I've found what I'm interested in about it now, and it's evolved for me. And I have to keep evolving and staying connected. Otherwise, you burn out. And if you burn out, you're never going to have the staying power for the thing you're doing.
So true. And I think you make such a great point. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years. And so finding new reasons why I'm passionate about it and really drilling into what matters most and why I'm doing it, that has evolved dramatically over the last 15 years. I started this because I wanted freedom for myself. Today, I wake up because I want freedom for women that are stuck in a cubicle, that they know there's something more for them and they don't know how to go after it. Like, it has evolved and changed, but you're so right that you have to keep coming back to, why do I do what I do? But stay in your lane long enough so that you can get known for something. Like, you've been doing this since you were 19, 20 years old. That is incredible. So yeah, I think reevaluating why you do it is so important. That's such a great lesson. If you walk away with one nugget of great information, I feel like that is so important. But I want to talk about the psychology of being a successful entrepreneur, because I was curious, do you see any parallels between being a successful entrepreneur and being successful in love?
That's a great question. I think that to my point, being prepared to go slow to go fast, there is a parallel there. I think a lot of people want a result right now, and it makes them compromise and it makes them do things that are off brand.
Desperate. That desperate energy.
They build things that are flimsy, that won't last, because they are trying to just rush it now. And I think that people get into relationships that won't last because they just really want to be in a relationship, or they date people they shouldn't, who are off brand for them, because they just really want the badge of being with someone, of having found their person, but that person's not right. And you know, I can think of many times where I was pitched things in business that weren't right for me. And mostly I think I was pretty good at saying no to things that weren't right for me, but definitely along the way, I ended up saying yes to some things that weren't right for me. And I, you know, some of them, like, it might have been a TV thing that I was like, oh, this could be really good, but it also wasn't right. And I didn't like it. And I didn't like the product that was being made. I didn't like the way I was being portrayed or what I was being asked to do. So you come out of those things saying never again, right? And the goal is to make sure that it really is never again, that you don't go back to doing, and it's the same with relationships. You date someone because you feel like they're charismatic or they're shiny or they feel exciting on some level, but that doesn't mean that deep down it's aligned with your values or your kind of brand of love that's important to you. I don't like using the word brand in love, but you know what I mean. Like, if you want a true, deep, loving, sustainable relationship, and you're with someone who is treating you poorly, not investing in you, not honest, but there's something about them that feels sexy and it feels like, oh, I just really want this person, because sometimes we're driven by ego in love, right? Like, this person looks good on my arm. They're going to be impressive to my friends and family. They represent a life I want to have. And so we go for that person and then realize that person has none of the same values as us, doesn't really see us, doesn't get us. And I think that's true in business too. You go for things, you go for partnerships or opportunities or things that don't align with your brand because they feel shiny and sexy. And then you realize, like, oh God, I wish I hadn't done this. This doesn't feel right to us. But sometimes what's right for your values and your brand, it takes longer. It requires patience, but the results when you get them are far more real and they're far more rewarding. You realize, like, wow, what I've learned over time that I didn't have in my 20s, because in my 20s, I was in survival mode, honestly. I came from financial instability as a family, you know, when I was growing up, to feeling like there was no safety net. I had to just survive, and not only survive, but take care of my family. And so it was like, in survival mode, you do say yes to things that you wouldn't if you were in a stronger position, or if you felt you had the confidence that came with feeling like you don't need to say yes. Like, you know, that I was in a mode where I felt like in some cases I just had to say yes because I had to, like, get to the next, I had to survive another day. And I'm very compassionate towards myself, because sometimes it's so easy for me to say yes, to say no to things now. But that me didn't have my opportunities. That me didn't have my stability. You know, it was a different time. But I also paid the price for those things, because so much of what I've had to reinvent about my organization or parts that I have to go back and redo all over again because I didn't build them right when I built them 10 years ago, or I didn't thing I said yes to 10 years ago is no longer, it just doesn't fit with who I am. So I think you end up taking a longer road back, which can be really frustrating. And I think that, look, that happens to a lot of people in love, right? You date, you marry the wrong person in your 40s or your 30s, and then you're 50 and you're finding, I've got to circle back to, you know, it didn't end well. I'm divorced and I want to find love again. And I need to now like circle back to some fundamental truths about the kind of person, the kind of human being I want to share a room with in this life, and is not the kind of person I just spent the last 10 or 20 years with. And that can breed a lot of shame, and it can breed a lot of regret and self-loathing, because you can hate yourself. You can hate yourself for wasting time. You can hate yourself for building it the wrong way, for not doing it the right way in the beginning. And you have to have compassion with yourself, because, and I, one of the things I talk about in the book is how to forgive ourselves for all of that, because it's, you really were doing the best you could at the time. You know, I so believe that doing your best is not, when I'm aware of the best I can do, did I do it on that day? That wasn't your best. Your best on that day was the best you could do on that day, with the tools, the resources, the influences, the emotional state you were in, you know, the mentors you had or didn't have, like the best, for better or worse. Your best might have been tragic, but that was the best you could do at the time. And that's been a real route to self-forgiveness for me, is understanding that.
You know, I love that you bring that up, that forgiving yourself and knowing that mistakes are made in your love life is the same for business. You have to give yourself grace and forgive yourself for different things that you did that you just didn't know any better, and you learn from them. So I could totally see that correlation between both. I want you to tell me a little bit about the book that you have coming out. It's called Love Life: How to Raise Your Standards, Find Your Person, and Live Happily No Matter What. I love that, no matter what. So talk to me a little bit about who is this book for and why did you write it?
Honestly, at its core, it's for anyone who wants to find love and has, for any reason, been struggling to find what it is they're really looking for. You know, many people in that position are very scared, or they're very, you know, they're worried that it's never going to happen for them. They may have been dating people who continually disappoint them. You know, we know we live, for so many, they experience the wild west of dating, of people ghosting, people flaking, people being hot and cold, people not wanting a real relationship, dating people, you're talking to people on apps where they don't even materialize into a date, let alone a relationship. And people getting burnt out by the whole thing. I kind of joke, I think we have a world of people who are, you know, they really deeply, deeply want to find love, but they absolutely don't want a date. And I understand that, and I relate to that, especially as an introvert who, for most of my life, is quite content to stay in the house.
Amen. Me too.
The idea of like having, I've got to go out and, you know, meet people, and then like, I have to talk to people to make this happen. Like, I've got to, like, why can't I just get a relationship without having to go through any form of small talk to get there? And as people get older, especially, they start to worry that they're going to become invisible, or some people already feel invisible, and their friends get married and they feel like they're the one who's left behind. And then you start worrying, well, am I broken? Is there something wrong with me? What is going on? That, you know, my friend met her partner in college and they've been married ever since. And here I am at 35 or 45 or 55, and I'm still struggling to find love, and especially healthy love. Like, what is going on with me? This book is a place where people can come to feel zero shame about their desire to find love.
Love that.
There is nothing shameful about it. That people, you don't need to feel like there's something desperate about admitting that you really want to find love, that is one of your biggest life goals. Welcome to the party. It's one of the biggest life goals for most people on this planet. And it's easy for married people to tell you, just be yourself and relax. It will happen when you're ready, or it will happen when it's time, or whatever. And it's like easy for you to say, you've been married for 10 years. Like, of course you're chill. Like, it's a different thing when you're the one in the trenches and you want this thing that feels like it's nowhere to be found. So this book is about taking away people's shame, helping people understand that regardless of whatever you may or may not be doing that may be getting in your own way, it's just hard. Even just the fundamentals of finding someone you want to spend your life with are not easy. It's, you know, we don't have control in this area in the way that we feel like we have control in other areas. If we want to change our body shape, we can change the foods we eat and train more, and we will change our body shape. If we want to build a business, there are things we can do. We can pick up the phone and make calls. We can create a product. We can do things. In our love lives, you could go on a date every day for the next 6 months and still not find love and still feel like you're back where you started. So it is hard, but there is an approach that people can take, a gentle, compassionate approach that won't take over their lives, and it won't mean doing 100 things you don't want to do, that will actually help you find love faster. And I also want to help people to understand that there are some deeper reasons why we might continually be finding ourselves running towards the wrong things. And in the book, I talk about what the wrong things are and why we keep being drawn to them somehow, you know, involuntarily, without even realizing it, often unconsciously, and how we can reprogram the way we find love and what we're attracted to in ways that actually can lead us towards the kind of happy relationship we have deep down always wanted but found so difficult to find. So it's designed to be a co-pilot for anybody who deeply wants to find love but is finding it ever harder out there, both either because of their internal obstacles or because of the obstacles of a world that feels impossible to date in sometimes.
Yes, for sure. You're doing important work, my friend. And I know a lot of my listeners who are single and want to find love, they're going to use this book as their guide. And that's exactly what it's meant for. So tell everybody, where can they go to get the book? And also, you likely at the time of this recording have some bonuses as well. So where should they go?
So they should go to lovelifebook.com. We have all the links. You can still buy it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you want on that page. On that page is also a place where by buying a book, you can claim a ticket to an event that we're doing on May the 4th, where I'm going to be coaching people live. It's going to be virtual, so people can do it from anywhere in the world. But that event is designed to be this perfect partner to the book. The event is called Find Your Person. And it's going to be a multi-hour live event that I'll do with people who get a copy of the book. So if they go to lovelifebook.com, you can order a copy of the new book. The new book is called Love Life. You'll see when you read this book, it not only is it going to help you find love faster, but it's going to help you love yourself and your life more along the way. And I think that's so important, because it really, not finding love and struggling in love can make us, it can make us resent ourselves and have real hatred towards ourselves for not being able to feel good enough or feel like we're successful in this area. But it can also make us grow really discontented with our life. And I believe we're all in three relationships until the day we die: our relationships with other people, our relationships with ourselves, and our relationship with life itself. And those three relationships will determine the quality of your life. This book is designed to primarily help you find love, but it's also designed to help you with all three of those relationships. So I think people are going to get a lot from it. And I know, Amy, our audience is strangely, they have a lot of overlap, because, you know, you work with so many people, women especially, who want to build businesses and are excited to pursue their passions or to leave a job that they're not enthralled with. And you know, so many of those people are often finding that their love life isn't where they want it to be. And they're trying to figure out how to do everything you're helping them do in building this business, this career life that they're passionate about, and figure out how at the same time to create a rewarding personal life and not to have their love life pass them by while they do that. And of course, you know, what you do is a gift to people in my area, because when people are really passionate about their work, it's one more reason why they have something beautiful to fall back on if they struggle in their love lives. But what I'm helping people to do is say, look, you can do both. And what I don't want is for someone to come out of 10 years of building a business to realize, like, wow, there was this really big part of my life that was deeply important to me that I neglected, or that I always used my work as an excuse to avoid. And now I feel like there's this huge part of my fulfillment that's missing because I haven't found love. And so I actually think that there's a beautiful pairing between what you're doing in your work and what I'm doing in mine. And I think people, anyone out there who's building a business right now, you know, love is the other, career fulfillment is one of the big boxes we want to tick in life, and finding love is one of the other big ones. So
we are a really good book bundle. Amazon should put us together. Find a business you love and a life you love with the person you love. Like, I can't get any better than that. So I do think there's a great alignment between what we do, Matthew. Thank you so very much for coming on the show. We're going to link the book in the show notes. And again, lovelifebook.com.
Love life, how to raise your standards, find your person, and live happily no matter what.
So fantastic. Thank you so very much. I absolutely love talking to you. We can't wait to spread the word, and I can't wait to have you on again. So thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Well, there you have it, friend. I think you'd agree that this conversation with Matthew was jam-packed with goodness, from everything about your love life to growing your business, which I love that we were able to kind of melt the two together. I have to say this. This is the last thing I'll say before I let you go. And that is that if you are single, or if you're in a relationship that is no longer serving you in the best way possible, I think that paying attention to what Matthew teaches in his new book is so incredibly important for your life in general, for your overall happiness, but also for your business. And the reason I say that is you can absolutely build your business as a single woman or man. You could do it on your own, and I have no doubt in my mind you can do it in a beautiful way. But I will tell you that building this business with my husband by my side, he's not part of the business. He doesn't really understand what I do in my business, but he is an amazing support system for me. Someone who's always got my back, always just my biggest cheerleader, literally believes in me more than I can believe in myself, and always someone that I could fall back on when things get really hard. Knowing he's always by my side has allowed me to take bigger risks in my business, has allowed me to believe in myself probably a little bit more than I would if he weren't in my life and encouraging me. And I think entrepreneurship can be so lonely. So knowing that I'm not alone on this wild ride is a beautiful thing. And so, of course, you could do it on your own. But if you do want love, if you are searching for your person, then I just want to tell you that finding your person could make entrepreneurship so much sweeter. So it's just something beautiful to look forward to. So I highly recommend you grab this book, because I believe in everything that Matthew shares between these pages. So very valuable. I think my favorite takeaway is just watching him be vulnerable and talk about the things he struggled with, and also the fact that he can still add value and serve even when things might be a little bit messy behind the scenes for him. Our lives are never perfect. So if I'm teaching you how to create a course, and if I'm teaching you how to launch, not every launch I do is perfect, or not every launch do I meet my goal, but I know who I am and what I stand for and where I add value and how I can add value to others, even when it's not always buttoned up on my end. And I think that's something that maybe some of you needed to hear. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.